Okay, so education funding, right? It can be a little like trying to solve a puzzle in the dark. But lucky for you, we're about to bring some light to the situation. We've got this awesome guide that breaks down all the different ways to pay for, learning all that awesome stuff.
Exactly. It's about making those smart choices from the beginning.
Totally. And the first thing they talk about in this guide is figuring out just how much you actually need, for funding. Seems pretty basic, right? But honestly, sitting down and like actually listing out every expense, tuition, books, I mean, even those late night pizza deliveries.
That can be really eye-opening for people.
Seriously.
And what this does, it helps you get your priorities straight. Like, are you trying to cover that whole tuition bill, or is it more about having enough for rent and groceries and all that?
Yeah, because it's easy to just get like
Yeah.
lost in all the options, right?
Absolutely.
But when you have a clear idea of what you actually need,
Yeah.
then you can focus on the funding sources that actually make sense for you.
And avoid wasting time on dead ends, basically.
Right. Okay, so this guy goes into all sorts of funding types, and the first one they jump into is grants.
Well, there's a reason for that. Grants, a lot of times, are based on financial need, and the best part, you don't have to pay them back.
Okay, free money for education. I like the sound of that. But what happens when grants aren't like enough to cover it all?
Well, then you've got scholarships. Those can be, based on merit or need. And honestly, there are so many different kinds out there. It's almost like going on a treasure hunt, You never know what you might find.
Yeah, that's true. But let's be real for a sec. Sometimes scholarships and grants just don't cut it. And that's when you might have to think about loans. And I feel like this is where things can get a little, I don't know, complicated.
Yeah, definitely. You really got to be strategic with loans because there's a lot to consider, especially those interest rates. Even a small difference in the rate can make a huge difference in how much you end up paying back overall.
Whoa, okay. So how do you even begin to like compare those rates without, totally melting your brain?
Well, one of the biggest things is understanding the difference between fixed and variable rates. A fixed rate stays the same throughout the life of the loan. It's predictable, But variable rates, they can fluctuate, and if those interest rates go up suddenly, well, your monthly payments could really jump up too.
So if you're the kind of person who likes to know exactly what's coming, a fixed rate sounds like the way to go, huh? Even if the initial rate might be a bit higher.
In a lot of cases, yes. But there are times when a variable rate could make more sense, especially if you're, okay with a little more risk, and maybe you're expecting your income to go up significantly after you graduate. If you can pay off the loan quickly, it might be worth it.
Okay, this is making me realize there's so much more to this than I thought. Oh, and speaking of things to think about, this guide also mentions these hidden fees, right? Like those annoying extra charges you sometimes see on your phone bill.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those because they can really add up. Application fees, origination fees, those are charged up front, and then you've got monthly maintenance fees. They can take a bite out of your funding before you even know it.
Okay, so how do you avoid those like fee traps? Is it just a matter of reading the fine print really, really carefully?
Reading the fine print is super important, but don't be shy about asking questions either. Reach out to the lender, or the scholarship provider, and get clarification on any fees or charges you don't understand.
All right, yeah, no hidden costs for me. Thank you very much. So we've covered grants, scholarships, loans. Anything else in this like funding toolbox that we should know about?
Oh, don't forget about work study programs.
Ah.
Those can be awesome, especially if you want to get some real world experience in your field while, making some money to help pay for school.
Yeah, it's like getting paid to like build your resume, which is pretty sweet.
Exactly. And one thing this guide really emphasizes, which I think is so important, is looking at the repayment terms for any loans you take out. That's where things can get, well, a little tricky if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I can definitely see how those repayment terms could like make or break your budget after graduation. So what are some of the key things people should be looking out for?
Yeah, I can definitely see how those repayment terms could, make or break your budget after graduation. So, what are some of the key things people should be, looking out for?
Well, first off, you want to understand the different repayment plans that are out there. Some loans have these grace periods, where you don't actually have to start making payments right away, like while you're still in school, or even for a bit after you graduate.
Oh, that's nice. So it gives you some breathing room to like get on your feet and figure things out before those loan payments start hitting your bank account.
Exactly. But then you've got loans that want you to start paying right away, and that can be tough, especially if you're, still figuring out the whole career thing. Gotcha. Okay, so grace periods, definitely a good thing to look for. What else is there, when it comes to repayment? Anything else people should keep in mind?
Definitely. Flexibility is like super important. Some loans are a lot more flexible than others when it comes to, how you pay them back. Like maybe you can defer payments if something comes up, some kind of financial hardship, or you could even switch to a different repayment plan that works better with, how much you're making at the time.
So it's not like a one size fits all kind of deal. You can
Yeah.
actually adjust things based on, your own situation.
Exactly. And this is where things get kind of cool, There are these things called income-driven repayment plans. They're designed for people whose income might go up and down a bit. Maybe their work is kind of unpredictable. So your monthly payments actually adjust based on what you're earning.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're going into a field where, you might have a good year and a not so good year. It takes some of the pressure off knowing that your loan payments won't totally wreck your budget if you hit a rough patch.
Right. It's all about finding that balance between, being able to afford the payments and still making progress towards actually paying off the loan. But before you get too excited about all these, funding options and stuff, there's one really important step the guide talks about, and that's eligibility.
Ah, yes. The reality check. It's easy to get all caught up in, a scholarship that sounds amazing, or a loan with a crazy low interest rate, but then you find out, oops, you don't actually qualify.
Yeah, exactly. And that can be, a big bummer, especially if you've already spent time and energy applying for it. That's why it's so important to look closely at the eligibility requirements, for anything you're thinking about applying for.
Okay, so what kind of criteria are we talking about here? Is it all about like your GPA, or are there other things they look at?
GPA definitely matters a lot of the time, but it's not always the only thing. Some scholarships might be more focused on your extracurriculars, like what you do outside of class, or maybe your community involvement, even your what you're studying. There are scholarships out there for practically everything, from like left-handed people to people who collect stamps. I mean, seriously.
Oh, okay. That's kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's worth, really digging in and exploring all those niche scholarships because you never know what you might stumble upon.
Totally. You got to cast a wide net, see what's out there. You might be surprised. And here's a pro tip from the guide, which I think is really smart. Don't just, rely on those official materials when you're researching funding options.
Wait, so you're saying there's more to it than just reading brochures and websites and all that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Step seven in this guide is all about tapping into the wisdom of current students, people who have already gone through this whole process.
Now, that's a brilliant idea. It's like getting the inside scoop
Right.
from people who've been there, done that. They can tell you what it's actually like to apply for certain scholarships, what those selection committees are looking for, maybe even some little, tips and tricks that you wouldn't find anywhere else.
Right. It's all about that firsthand knowledge, those personal connections. You wouldn't believe how much good info you can get from just, chatting with someone who's already been through it.
So how do you recommend people connect with current students? Should they just hang out in the financial aid office and hope for the best?
Well, you could try that, but there are, more strategic ways to go about it. If you're already in a program, reach out to some upperclassmen in your field. They've been in your shoes, and they're often happy to like share their experiences and give you some pointers. Or your school's financial aid office, they might have some kind of mentorship program, where they connect current students with new students or even prospective students.
Ooh, those are good ideas. And what about social media? I bet there are, online communities or groups where students share info about scholarships and funding stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Social media can be like a gold mine for this kind of thing, but you got to be careful and make sure you're getting advice from, reliable sources.
Yeah.
And speaking of reliable sources, this guide has one final tip, and it's a good one. It can be a total game changer, especially if you're feeling, a little overwhelmed by all the different funding options out there.
Cool. I'm all ears. What's the magic solution?
It's all about embracing technology. There are these amazing online comparison tools that can make your life so much easier. They help you make sense of all this information.
So you're talking about like websites or apps that let you compare different scholarships, grants, loans, all that stuff side by side.
You got it. They lay it all out for you. Interest rates, repayment terms, eligibility requirements, even those pesky hidden fees we talked about, all in a way that's super easy to understand and compare.
It's like having your own like personal funding assistant, right?
Yeah.
Right there in your pocket. These tools sound like they could save people a ton of time and stress.
Oh, for sure. And the best part is a lot of these tools are constantly being updated, so you know you're getting the most accurate and up-to-date information.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Grants, scholarships, loans, work study, interest rates, repayment terms, eligibility, hidden fees, talking to current students, those online comparison tools. It's a lot, but I'm definitely feeling a lot more confident about, you know, figuring this whole education funding thing out.
That's awesome. You know, the big takeaway here is that knowledge is power, right? The more you know about all these different funding options and strategies, the better decisions you can make. And that means, you know, you're more likely to reach your goals.
And the cool thing is this isn't just for, you know, that traditional four-year college path. These strategies work for all kinds of education journeys, whether it's vocational training, online courses, even starting your own business.
Absolutely. The whole education landscape is changing so fast. And, you know, the ways we fund education need to keep up with those changes. We've got to support all kinds of learners and all kinds of dreams.
Exactly. It's not about following some like preset path anymore. It's about creating your own unique journey and finding the resources and support you need to make that journey a success.
And speaking of unique journeys, it makes me think, you know, what about the role of education funding in supporting those alternative pathways? You know, we've been talking a lot about traditional models, but what about those people who are choosing to create their own paths through apprenticeships or online courses or maybe even starting their own businesses?
Wow, that's a great question. And I think it's one that deserves way more attention. The world of work is changing so rapidly, and we need to make sure that education funding is keeping up, you know, so it can support those folks who are choosing to create their own opportunities outside of those traditional systems.
I couldn't agree more. We need to like broaden our definition of what education even means, recognize the value of all these alternative paths.
Right. It's not just about earning a degree anymore. It's about getting the knowledge, the skills, the experiences you need to, you know, actually thrive in this crazy, fast-changing world.
Yeah. And that might mean a combination of traditional and non-traditional approaches, maybe a mix of formal learning and informal learning, you know.
So how do we make sure that education funding is inclusive, that it's accessible to everybody no matter what path they choose? So how do we make sure that education funding is inclusive, that it's accessible to everybody no matter what path they choose?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And it really requires us to like shift our thinking. I mean, policymakers, you know, but also society as a whole, we got to get past this idea that a four-year degree is the only way to be successful. There are so many valuable skills and trades that people can learn through apprenticeships, you know, or vocational programs, online courses, even just like hands-on experience.
Yeah, totally. And it seems like the way we fund education right now, it's still so focused on those traditional paths.
It is. It's like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole, right?
Yeah.
We need more flexible ways to fund education, you know, ways that can support all those different needs and goals that learners have, whether they're going for a traditional degree or, you know, blazing their own trail.
Okay, so what would those like alternative funding models look like? How would they actually work?
Well, one example is something called income share agreements. It's where students agree to pay back a percentage of their income, you know, for a certain amount of time in exchange for getting their education funded. That can be a really good option for people who, you know, maybe don't have a lot of money up front for tuition, but they're confident that they can earn a good income after they finish their program.
Huh. That's interesting. So it kind of shifts the risk, right? It's not all on the student anymore. The school or the program, they have more of a stake in making sure their graduates are successful.
Exactly. It's more of a partnership, right? Focused on outcomes. And there's another model that's becoming more popular called skills-based grants. They're given out based on what you can actually do, you know, your skills and abilities, instead of just your grades and traditional credentials.
I love that. It recognizes that learning happens everywhere,
yeah.
Right? Not just in a classroom. A piece of paper shouldn't be the only way to prove you know your stuff.
Exactly. It opens up so many opportunities for people who might have, you know, learned their skills through working or apprenticeships or online courses or even just teaching themselves. And then there's this whole trend of micro-credentialing where people can earn, you know, like mini certifications for very specific skills.
Oh, yeah. It's like breaking education down into like smaller bite-sized pieces.
Yeah.
Which can be less intimidating and more affordable, you know, for folks who don't have the time or the money for a full degree program.
For sure. And the cool thing is you can kind of stack those micro-credentials, you know, combine them in different ways to create your own personalized learning path. It's all about meeting your specific needs, or maybe even the needs of an employer.
This makes me think about how we could use education funding to support, you know, entrepreneurship too. Like, what if there were grants or programs specifically for people who want to start their own businesses?
Yeah.
Or pursue, you know, their creative passions.
Oh, I love that idea. We need to create a culture that supports those kinds of things, you know, innovation, taking risks, following your dreams. And that means giving people access to funding and resources, even if they're, you know, venturing outside those traditional career paths.
Imagine if people felt like they could actually pursue their dreams, you know, and they knew there was some kind of safety net if things didn't go exactly as planned. That would be amazing.
It would be transformative. Absolutely. It would unleash so much creativity, so much innovation. We'd all benefit.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, from like the nitty gritty of comparing interest rates to those big, big ideas about, you know, how we can make education funding more inclusive, more accessible for everyone.
It's been a really great conversation.
And I hope our listeners are feeling, you know, energized, inspired to take charge of their own education, no matter what path they decide to take.
Don't forget, there are so many possibilities when it comes to learning. Don't be afraid to explore, to try new things, to create your own path to success.
So well said. And on that note of possibility and empowerment, we're going to wrap up this deep dive. Until next time, keep those brains working and those dreams alive.